It's our privilege today to have with us Dr. Ricky Dunsford, Vice President of Rock of Ages Ministries in Cleveland, Tennessee. No stranger to Florida, born and raised in Century, and he and his wife Judy have been involved in active ministry now for 40 years, and we are so thankful that he was able to come and be with us today. You might want to turn down your hearing aids, because when he gets wound up, there's no telling what's going to happen. But anyway, we're so glad he could be with us today. Brother Ricky, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart?
Thank you, Brother Todd. I appreciate it. I did attend Bible college for a little while and learned to homiletically, exegetically, expositionally expound on the Word of God. But being a South Alabama boy, I learned to preach, and I think I'll just do a little of that today. Acts chapter number 9 was the reading of the passage I had on my heart concerning today's graduation. I can't think in myself a greater privilege that young people could have had graduating from a Christian school. I did not. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My children did. I'm so thankful that the Lord did save me as a young man. I was 22 years of age. First time I ever walked in a church. First time I ever saw a Bible open, I was 22 years of age. It literally changed my life. I had other expectations. And so to be here today somewhat humbles me tremendously, because I view those that have sacrificed, and I do know, putting my children through Christian education, the sacrifice it does have on families. And I am so thankful for these kids here today. If my prayer is that you will follow the will of God for your life, allow Him to direct your way. Rock of Ages Ministries has been in existence now 45 years. We started out, and still are, but because of the expansion of our ministry, we changed the name, but we are Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Majority of the folks I work with, from teenagers up, are troubled individuals. Broken lives, broken homes, and just because of some bad decisions, many evil decisions, but I believe God's able to change lives. I thought on this passage of Scripture today, and I'll try not to be too long. I won't say how long, because then I'll probably lie. And I don't want to do that. But the story here is the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And he was setting out to wreak havoc on the church and on believers. And his desire was to inflict as much harm as possible, to imprison them, to beat them. And you go on to notice he consented to the death of Stephen. Paul was adamant that he was going to inflict great pain on believers. And as I began to think on this passage, I began to think how such a dramatic change came after salvation in the life of the Apostle Paul. And a couple of scriptures jumped out to me. Then I'll give my title this morning and then try to preach just a little while. She read the passage, and you notice, though, down in verse number 3 of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, the Bible said, "And as he journeyed," that is the Apostle Paul. So he's on this journey, he's on this quest, he's on this thing that is driving him with anger and malice. He's on his way to Damascus. But the Bible says, "And suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven." Now you just have to understand the kind of guy I am. I wrote down in my Bible, "Say glory right there." Say hallelujah right there. That a light shined down from heaven. Y'all gonna have to smile or do something. I'll have one of them Alabama running fits, and I'm trying to be dignified. I'm not good at it, but I'm practicing. Verse number 4. "And he fell to the earth." Boy, oh boy, do I remember that day that a light shined around about. I'm not talking about what Paul saw here, but boy, something shined on the inside. And I found myself on my knees, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Of course, that is Jesus doing the speaking to Saul at this time, the Apostle Paul. And I want us to notice in verse 6, 5 and 6, two questions that are asked. The Apostle Paul, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? I guess I would too. If a light shined and knocked me to the ground, some of you would think it was an alien, but yeah, besides that, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now I want you to notice that light shined round about him. And all of a sudden he's saying, Who are you? But after the Lord answered him, he asked the question, trembling and astonished, What wilt thou have me to do? And I want to preach a little while on this thought. What now? Life-changing, a new event, a one-time occurrence. What now? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the sweet time we had this morning in morning services. Lord, I pray for each and every individual here. There's things in the lives of all of us that only you know today. There's emotions, challenges, heartaches, joy. All things are taking place at a time like this. And Lord, I pray for each family, each individual, each person, that God, you'll give a grace beyond measure today. And then, Lord, if there be one sitting in this place that never has known that bright light from glory, I pray, God, for them. I pray that, even this day they might accept you as their Savior. Then I pray, God, for wisdom and discernment be placed upon the lives of these young people as they'll begin to make decisions that'll carry on the rest of their lives. And Father, would you bless, and we'll sure give you the praise for it and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It interests me. I try to put myself in, at this time was Saul, would soon be called the Apostle Paul. I try to put myself in his place. Now remember, he has grown up a Roman citizen and a Hebrews of Hebrews. So here's a guy, and he's heard of this Jesus in these past few years that has just literally turned the world upside down. He has stirred up politics. He has stirred up religion. He has stirred up all kinds of social issues. I mean, this man, Jesus, has got everybody talking about what in the world is going on. People by the thousands and the multitudes of multitudes are following this little carpenter son all everywhere he goes. He's doing amazing things. The blind can see. The lame can walk. 5,000 have been fed with only 12 disciples passing it out. Boy, I wish McDonald's would get a hold of that. I'm still chewing on that 5,000. And they all got fed before the sun went down. And here this Jesus is. He's got the whole crowd stirred up. Well, here is Saul, and Saul's a zealous. And he, all of a sudden, he said, they're attacking my government. They're attacking my religion. I've got to do something about this. And next thing you know, he's off wanting to persecute these people that call themselves Christians. And he's on his way. So put yourself in Saul's position for just a moment. He's angry. He's doing what he thought was the right thing to do. He thought he was defending his country. He thought he was defending his religion. But he didn't realize he wasn't persecuting the Christians because Jesus said, Why do you persecute me? And Saul comes to this place. And then something happens. This light shines round about him. And he has no clue. He thought he had the answers. He didn't have the answers. He thought nationalism was the answer. But it wasn't the answer. He thought some other things were the answer. And people today all over this world will die lost and spend eternity in hell because they think they have the answer, but they've never had a one-on-one confrontation with the Lord. And so here Paul is. And I don't know about you, but now this, there's a lady in our church. She's in heaven now, but she swore to it. One day when she was in Arizona and she was traveling down the road and this alien came down, you couldn't shake this lady. You couldn't get it. I mean, she sat right there and preacher quit taking testimonies in church because she'd get up and testify about the alien that came down. I don't think she was off, but you know, I'll let you judge people see aliens. But she thought she had this. Now I'm telling you something. I'd be one of them dudes on the Channel 3 news. I saw it come down from heaven. There it was. Yeah. And be scared to death. So think about the Apostle Paul for just a moment. This light shines down from heaven. And I don't think he said, "Who are you?" No. I think the Paul astonished and trembled. "Who art thou, Lord?" And he asked the question. And Jesus said, I'm him. I'm the one you're persecuting. I'm Jesus. And the Apostle Paul would then, after he had had that moment, "Now what? Lord, what would you have me to do?" My challenge to you is now what concerning the Lord? Now, what will we do with our lives? I'll give you three things. I'll be done this morning. I thought the Apostle Paul would ask the question after he had his time with the Lord. He would ask the question, "What now? Lord, what would you have me to do? What now?" You know how I believe you get this answer, the question answered is, first of all, we had to come to a realization that the Apostle Paul had an encounter. He had an encounter. Now, Mr. Webster says an encounter is a sudden or unexpected meeting. I mean, you weren't expecting it. You weren't looking for him. He came looking for you. You didn't deserve Calvary, but he went to Calvary for you and I. I didn't deserve to be saved, but Jesus did that for me. And I had an encounter one day with him. Before you can begin your journey, before you know what you are to do, make absolutely sure that you can remember the day, the time that you had an encounter with him. It interests me because encounters are different. Some were enemies of the cross, like the Apostle Paul, but they had an encounter with Jesus. Some were walking with Christ, like Andrew, who would go get his brother Peter, and they were just walking, and they had an encounter with Jesus. Some were drawn by the Scripture. Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch were drawn by the Scripture, and they had an encounter with Christ. And the Bible said many just heard preaching and believed on the Lord Jesus. So I want to say, what now? Why, if all of eternity depends on the preaching of the Word of God, then I say to you guys, why not? Why not consider what God might do with your life? Preach the gospel. Go out to the mission field. Tell others about Christ. There's just something about an encounter with Him. I sat in church this morning, I set out to be a mechanical engineer. I made it 2 years into the progress, and then they slapped calculus on me. So I turned out to be a good refrigeration repairman. And I set out then to start a couple, and I had two or three businesses going, and I was going to be a millionaire. Had my mind made up. Was heading in that direction. Time I make a dollar, Judy spend two, So we were really, a little bit of deficit we had there. But we were doing quite well. She was a business brains and I was a hands. And we set out. Oh, but one day I had already said way back a few years earlier when I had an encounter with him, I said, Lord, I ask one thing. Let me serve you in some capacity. If it's to be a businessman, I'll be a businessman. If it's to teach a Sunday school class, I'll teach a Sunday school class. If it's to cut the grass around the church house, I'll cut the grass around the church house. If you'll just let me serve you. I had an encounter with him. Little did I know, he said, sell everything. I said, wait a minute, just a minute, time out here. We need to negotiate. And he said, when I went to Calvary, there was no negotiation. Oh, we sold everything, gave everything away. And can I tell you, for 40 years, it's been a wonderful journey. Can I tell you, you'll never make a mistake by saying, Lord, what now? If he says to you, serve me in some full-time capacity. Secondly, not only what now, he had an encounter that led to the question, now what, Lord, what now for my life? He had an experience. He had an experience, it was one of brightness. For that light shined brighter than the noonday sun by his own testimony. Revelation 22:16 said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches, that I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Oh, can I tell you? Now listen, I did not get saved by an experience, but I like what that old North Carolina preacher said. I'm not saved by feelings, but it sure feels good to be saved. And I am thankful today that I had an encounter with him and he lives in me and I had an experience in him. Acts 22:6 said, and it came to pass that I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, Paul giving his testimony. Suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Interest me, that's the Greek word phos, where we get our word phosphorus from. You see, phosphorus is a mineral essential to our lives. And it's more than the word luminous. I am the light of the world, but it is phos. It means the very origin. It's where it all comes from. It's from him, that light. And he said, no, you're not. You're the light of the world. And we are to shine because not us shining, but because he shines in us. Because of an experience we had with him. That experience was not only one of brightness, but he had an experience of blindness. See, all of a sudden he's blind. Now the Bible said he trembling and astonished. Now, if you just went blind, you'd be a little nervous, wouldn't you? I mean, all of a sudden something hits you and you're gone blind and all of a sudden he has no idea whether he'll ever see again. He's blind. He's now, for the first time in this bold, zealous man's life, dominating and leading and doing, now someone's leading him around. Well, his life is changed by one event. He's completely changed. He had an experience of blindness. And can I tell you, I've learned that when I one day had an experience of blindness, was one of the greatest things ever did, because you see, it changed my purpose. This purpose that the Apostle Paul had set out to harm the church and to persecute Jesus, he's now blinded to what he even set out to do. He now has something else. What now? He's changed. He had all these dreams and hopes that he was going to do for himself. But then the Lord showed up in his life and he had an experience of blindness, and now he no longer saw his purpose. He can only see the Lord's purpose. He had a blindness of pride. He no longer was full of hatred. Of all things, this blind man's led by a Christian, led down to a Christian's house. Paul's having to face it, so now pride has been blinded to him no longer. It's not all about me. It's about others. He was blinded all of a sudden to a prejudice. It no longer was have to be the way of the Jew, but it was the way of Jesus. he was blinded. Not only was he blinded, one of brightness and one of blindness, but there was one of bewilderness. In verse 9, the Bible said, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He was in such a way, trembling and astonished, that he couldn't even eat or drink anything. He was overwhelmed. He was taken back. All of a sudden, he's just bewildered. Can I tell you, sometimes it'll just take an experience with Christ to bring you to the place, now, Lord, what would you have me to do? What now? Making decisions in our lives is going to affect our future. And as you make these decisions, making sure that that encounter and that experience, that your decisions are based on His leadership and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that your devotion time and your prayer time is one that you experience His presence and let Him lead and guide your lives. Lastly, not only did he have an experience and an encounter, but he went away from all this with an expectation. Lord, what now? What will you have me to do? He now went from who are you to what can I do for you? What can I do? Oftentimes, I wonder, I don't know, it's not in our Bibles. I think some things, but I remember the Apostle Paul when he said he went thrice to the Lord because of this thorn in the flesh and this messenger of Satan that buffeted him. And I thought, okay, Lord, why did you not? I know he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I thought, here's this man, this great evangelist, this great missionary, doing a work for you. And then I'm reminded when God told the Apostle Paul, here's what you're going to do for me. You're going to suffer for my name's sake. You're going to suffer. Now Paul, you know what's now for you? Suffering. But I'm going to do something through the suffering. So I often wondered, Brother Todd, when Saul finally said, I now take pleasure in my infirmities. I rejoice in them. I've often wondered, did the Holy Spirit of God whisper in Paul's ear? I don't know this. Your Bible doesn't say. I'm just speculating. I wonder if the Holy Spirit really went over and whispered, said, now, Paul, you know I can heal you. You know I can remove that thorn. But if I take away your suffering, I've got to take away your ministry. I've got to take away your service, because this is what I chose for you. So you ask me, what now? Now, the question to ask concerning what you're going to do in your future, whatever career path it may take you, what now with the Lord? Will you give Him free rein to lead you in whichever path brings the most glory unto Him? None of us here. I got in the retirement mode about 6 months ago. And I had a little 4-year-old grandson. Sat all the way in the back of the church with Judy, and I got in one of those heavenly ways. See, I'm being dignified today, but I got one of those heavenly ways. It got so good, I just got to shouting at myself. Glory, son, you're preaching good. Nobody else would do it. And I was getting one, Brother Bill, I was getting one of them retirement. I tell you, I'm tired. I'm a 2.5 million mile flyer, 1.8 mile driver in this ministry. Arthritis, he moved in. Me and Judy can't run him off. And I said, you know what, maybe it's time to maybe just slow down a little. And that little four-year-old boy stood up in the back while I was preaching and said, preach it, Papa, preach it. Decided I'm not retiring right now. Because he's still God. And what now? Just keep serving. You're not too old today to say, Lord, what now? You're not too young today to say, what now? You haven't gone too far in anything in your life that he cannot use you for his glory. What now?
Amen. Thank you very much, Dr. Dunsford. And I pray that you young people will listen and remember that message.